Is it Mr. Goodbar? You don't know Mr. Goodbar?
No, that's gone.
Oh my god. Over. So Nestle, what is Kraft chocolate?
It's not Nestle, I can tell you that.
Yeah, if anything's Kraft chocolate, not Nestle.
They do this amazing chocolate bar in the US called Mr. Goodbar.
Okay.
Highly recommend it. And there's a movie with, I think, Richard Gere and Diane Keaton called Looking for Mr. Goodbar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
quality material right here.
So, next beer?
This is why we didn't want to do this episode. Really.
Sessionable.
Welcome to Sessionable. This is our long-awaited episode where we definitively answer the question that everyone's been asking. What is craft beer?
A question we've been dodging for close to a year now.
Kind of hoping that... Well, we're actually coming up on a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks to some certain Melbourneites, we've been pinned down.
Yeah.
So,
so for those of you who don't know the story, there's a fantastic podcast based in Melbourne called Ale of a Time with Luke and Dave. And we've been going back and forth with them, trading questions... and they finally asked us the question, I think the exact question was, why isn't Cricketer's Arms IPA craft, and why is Mountain Goat Summer Ale craft, if they both come out of the same facility? We've decided that the best way to answer that is to just dedicate a whole episode to the question, what is craft beer?
Mm-hmm.
So buckle yourselves in. This one's going to be super interesting.
Mm.
Riveting.
Yeah.
Might go for several hours.
We have had this discussion for several hours before.
We might not even have a solid answer by the end of it.
So we thought... we tried to get our hands on the Cricketer's Arms IPA, which was the beer that kind of sparked the whole thing.
I just want to say thank you to Ale of a Time for making me walk into a Dan Murphy's for the first time in about a year and a half.
But we couldn't find any anywhere in Sydney... in our usual haunts, or in our not so usual haunts as well.
My local actually had the lager.
Yeah, I saw the lager today,
and I had it, and it wasn't that good.
Mm.
But I didn't have time to get another bottle before this episode.
That's all right,
unfortunately.
So we've chosen a few beers to have today that we're going to discuss whether they are craft. And the first one that we're drinking is the Samuel Adams Boston Lager from the States. So what do you guys think? Is this craft?
What is craft?
Is that the best way to get into this question?
Okay, how about what we'll do?
Should we have a general sort of...
I think what we should do is we've all prepared our own definition, right? Mm. That was your homework. That was our homework.
Yep. Yeah.
So we should probably go around and say what we think of as our definition of craft beer.
Okay.
Okay. So who wants to go first?
Oh, fuck, I'll do it.
All right.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, and this is, of course, my personal opinion, I don't think craft beer has anything to do with scale or size. I think craft beer is more about the integrity of using the best ingredients possible, not making beers that aren't necessarily going to be profitable, but good tasting and good in flavour. And having, I think, some form of experimentation is something that I sort of associate with craft. And saying that, there are breweries that are very true to style that I would still call craft beers.
Yeah,
but I think some sort of not just sticking by the rules, I guess. But yeah, I think the main things for me is it doesn't matter how big your brewery is. It's more about your dedication to making great beer and by using the best ingredients possible and not worrying about how much it's going to cost, just working that out later.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so I think my definition, I wrote up a big like page. I was like writing a definition, trying to figure out. I wrote just a big rant. And then I just like went through and I just whittled it down and I got it down to one like sentence, which I'm pretty proud of.
How long did that take you?
A while. I'm not going to say.
There are lots of like commas and semicolons and things like that.
No, so basically,
a lot of awesomes.
That's
yeah, he's got a one word answer.
That's the definition.
Riverside.
What is craft beer? Riverside. No, it's got to be two words. What is craft beer? Riverside, motherfucker. it's kind of similar to what you said. It's for me, a craft beer is a beer brewed for maximum flavor, not maximum profit. That is like essentially when I was like thinking about it and getting down to it, that's what it comes down to for me. I think a non-craft brewery can brew a craft beer.
Do you think a craft brewery can brew a non-craft beer?
Definitely.
So I was looking at this Global Association of Craft Brewers thing last night because it was mentioned on Twitter, and before I get to my definition, I'll read out theirs. I think they said, oh, by the way, their membership is like 1,000 euros for a small brewer, which is pretty ridiculous.
Worth it.
Looking after the little guys.
So. 1,000 euros a year. Oh, that's ridiculous. Anyway.
So do they give any definitions to it?
So they say it has to be, like, 70% of the distribution has to be local, has to be independent, so 51% of your brewery's products must be produced using your founder's own money, and it has to be creative, so like you guys said, the intent, you know, they must show creativity through the brewing process.
I'd probably add creativity to my definition as a...
Interesting.
Can you fit that into your one sentence?
Pardon? Yeah. Flavor and creativity. Maximum flavor and creativity. Not profits. Yeah, done.
Just winding you up.
Bam.
So my definition, if you can call it that, is a bit of a cop-out. You know, like you guys have said, you could define it a certain number of ways, like intent, creativity. I think the most commonly... accepted one, I want to say accepted, but like the most commonly recognized one is either size, so like are you a microbrewery or are you independently owned? And personally, I don't really care if you're independently owned or if you're small. To me, what matters is if it tastes good.
Yep.
It doesn't even need to be creative, you know, you can be the standard American IPA, and if you've nailed it, then I will drink your beer.
I think it's a fair point that people can get a little bit skeptical when you start looking at who has controlling shares or who's because then you're coming back to a point where you're reporting to someone and you have to, you know, it's someone else is investing in you, they want to see returns.
Mm.
So then it becomes more about that making beer to make money.
But in saying that,
there are, you know, I think there can be breweries that can sort of toe that line between having some major investment and still having a passion and pedigree to do great beers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, like I said before, you don't have to be a small brewer to brew good beer, and I think the opposite is also true.
Yeah.
Because there are brewers everywhere and in Australia that are, you know, independent and small
and brew shit beer.
Honestly, brew quite shit beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good brewers can brew crap beer as well, like, you know.
I mean, but
does that mean they're not a craft brewer? I don't think it matters.
No.
Yeah. I guess it matters to some people, but personally for me,
it's... Everyone can miss the mark on some beers. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I'm a big fan of Moondog as a brewery. They always try, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, is they always give everything a go. It doesn't always work, but they're always going to
They've gotten a lot better.
Yeah, I think they've got a lot more consistent, but
So, having said all that, there's a few more definitions. So I've got the American Brewers Association, and their one's fairly widely cited as being a pretty robust definition. They're put in a sentence, as is, an American craft brewer is small, independent, and traditional. And at the end of the day...
What is small?
Yeah, so small, they say on this page, annual production of 6 million barrels of beer or less. Independent, less than 25% of the craft breweries owned or controlled by a beverage alcohol industry member that is not itself a craft brewer. And traditional, a brewer that has a majority of its total beverage alcohol volume in beers whose flavor derives from traditional or innovative brewing ingredients and their fermentation.
That's very vague.
It's very vague.
But I think...
But yeah, I mean, it comes down to my main disagreement. It's like, it doesn't... Like, putting a size thing on there, it's,
I think at the same
sense.
Time, that is a good definition for an industry, because if you want to have some kind of association, then who can join? Like, if you don't have a proper definition, then AB InBev might join. You know, So I think there should be some sort of definition if people want to create some sort of association for the benefit of all its members. But at the same time, you know, the word craft is thrown around so easily these days.
Mm. Yeah, and I think
it's such a marketable word these days.
Yeah, the reason there's such a I don't know, an innate need to define it in the craft beer community is because we feel threatened by the, you know, Lion Nathan and CUB making beers and trying to the Woolies and Coles and trying to push out kind of what we see as the small independent brewers and try to take over that market, which
but they can't trick us. Like, they've tried.
They can't trick us.
Yeah,
us three sitting at this table.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, there's this fear about, you know, the big brewers taking over all the small brewers, but it hasn't happened.
No.
Like, as a percentage of the craft market, it hasn't really happened.
What, like,
they've taken over a couple here and there, but
it's been a while. Like, it was a tactic maybe like 5 years ago for them to start just buying up all these breweries, but it hasn't really been happening lately, has it? In Australia,
I mean, Little Creatures is the last big one.
Yeah, but that was ongoing for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, Lion Nathan owned a part of Little Creatures you know, most of its life. So I guess now that we've kind of discussed that, we should get back to the
actual
original question that was put to us. Why is the Cricketers Arms IPA and range not craft when the Mountain Goat Summer Ale is? And I am willing to admit that I hadn't tried the Cricketers Arms IPA, so I probably spoke too soon when I said it's not craft.
Yeah, I don't think I said
sure
it.
I admitted at the time that I didn't think it was, but that I hadn't had it.
If I did say it, I apologise, but...
Yeah, I'm happy to take that back until I try it.
Yeah, I like I said, I don't use the word... I do use the word craft, but in a more vague sense.
Yeah.
But...
I try to use just good and bad.
Yeah, like... I try to use good and bad as well. And I've had the lager, I didn't like it, so that's a bad
thing. I was going to say, like, we really did try to get one to have today to... So we could
We've been scouring Sydney.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but we couldn't find it. And the only Cricketers Arms I have had is the lager, and it's...
Was that pre or post Asahi buying them?
Post.
Post. So,
But were you guys looking in craft beer bottle shops, or or non-craft beer bottle?
But what is a craft beer bottle shop?
I looked in both good and bad bottle shops. Yeah. I'll put it that way.
There's a way to put it.
I mean, back to the... I can speak about the lager, and it's like a... It's a pretty standard, I guess, standard lager, which apparently they use Amarillo in, except I couldn't really get the Amarillo from it.
Yeah, but it's all about scale as well. You can put one pellet of Amarillo, say, into a 10,000-liter batch and say you've used Amarillo. It doesn't... Mm. Yeah.
And it wasn't bad tasting so much as it was just so bland that what's the point? You know, I could drink a Foster's instead of this.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, which I don't. I would really like to try the IPA to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what it's like. But apparently the hops come through a little bit more than that. Another thing that bothers me in the whole... Let's talk about labels and why people call IPAs... pale ales IPAs. Or why they call pale ales session IPAs.
Oh, don't. Oh, man. You knew I'm riled up about this. I have a real problem with the session IPA fad at the moment, because isn't that what an American pale ale is?
Yeah.
Like...
I agree with you.
It's... I think... Really...
Yeah. I think there are... like some beers, which I can see why you'd call that a session IPA. I think I had a rocks
I guess
one
like if
quite
it's,
recently,
I guess
which
if
was,
it's if
which
it's,
had a big hop profile, but yeah. didn't have the big malts.
The rocks one, really great beer, but to me, I'd call like that's a hoppy pale ale or an American pale ale. It's
if it's like an APA that's super bitter and super hoppy? So like it has the hop profile of an American pale American IPA, but doesn't quite have the malt to back it up or the alcohol to back it up.
But then I don't like that's part of being an IPA is having that malt to back it up.
Yeah, but then by also not having that malt, you can also reduce your alcohol content as well.
Yeah, no, I know. Then you're a pale ale.
Our producer has said what's the BJCP definition, and it's been a while since I've looked at the definitions, but
I
don't think that fits into any particular category.
So
there you go. But I don't know. I think there's
very few session IPAs I've had that distinguish themselves so far from a pale ale that I would call them a session IPA.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it can't exist, but there are I've had a lot of them.
I do agree.
It's very few that it's
a fad. Like people are using the word session so much for anything these days. But I'm going to contradict myself and say I do like session beers.
So do I. I love session beers.
Yeah, maybe not.
Give me a good pale ale anytime. Like, yeah.
Maybe not call it a session IPA, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, speaking of pale ales.
Yeah.
No, that's... before we go on that, why don't we talk about the Sam Adams?
I think we should.
Let's talk about Sam Adams.
Is it a craft beer?
Well, to be honest, I don't I've never really done my research on the Sam Adams Brewery as far as...
Is it Boston Brewing? Is that Boston, the...
Yeah.
I think they're what?
They do have some...
I think they're the biggest craft brewer in the US.
So much so that the American Brewers Association basically changes when Samuel Adams grows, they change the recipe to keep Samuel Adams in there.
The thing is, like, if they're not
if they're not part of the
association, then
their market share goes down a lot.
Yeah, you go craft beer is only what,
it's not growing
1%
yeah.
or something.
Yeah,
so that's why.
Whereas having them in there gives them that.
Yeah.
But look, I think being from Australia, we haven't had a chance to have a proper stab at all the beers that Sam Adams do.
Mm. Yeah.
We've had, what, two or three of them?
Yeah, you get Boston Lager, you get a lot. Noble Pils comes in sometime. There was a Summer Ale recently.
Yeah.
But that's about all I've seen.
But that's a speck in the ocean compared to what they actually release.
Yeah.
And Bottle as well, not only just on tap, because I know their bar, the main bar I know of, does a lot of seasonal beers and whatnot.
Have you ever had the is it the Utopias? Is that the
I haven't had it.
Yeah, which is their big. I've seen it. I've held one, but I haven't drunk one.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've held a Utopia.
Yeah.
Can I touch you? Yeah.
Touch me. Yeah. But look, I don't think this is a craft beer. It's a solid lager. There's not a lot of innovation going on there.
It's all right. I think it's more flavorful than the Cricketer's Arms, but at the same time, like I've said numerous times before, lagers aren't really my thing, so this isn't particularly impressing me.
Look, by the fact that it's a lager, it's on the back foot of trying to be a craft beer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. My impression always been it's a brewery that does do some crafty beers, and this is a mainstream beer that they release.
I think I'd call this a craft beer, but...
Why?
Because I do. I really enjoy the flavour. I think it's not... It doesn't taste like your average lager.
But then you're going into the, just because I like it, it's craft, and if I didn't like it, it wasn't craft. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, by what definition are you saying it's a craft beer?
That's why I was
the
trying
to...
Like
by the one that I said, which at the end of the day comes down to my subjective opinion of
the
beer.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why
There is no definition, guys. Like,
that's why I...
This is all a pointless exercise in futility.
But you gave yourself a definition and just counteracted it by saying, I like this beer, so therefore it's craft. That doesn't fit into your sentence.
Flavor.
Well, it has a flavor. It doesn't.
But what is what is flavor?
Flavor is subjective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why I avoid.
I don't
term.
Think this is their craftiest beer, but I don't think it's not a craft beer.
See, that's why I like to go: is it good or bad? And it's just okay.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. Like, it's not amazing, but it's pretty good.
It's a solid lager, but it, like I said, it's an uphill battle by. Pouring a lot by giving us a lager and saying,
but then some of my favourite craft beers are lagers.
It's fine, but I'm saying it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, I think.
But you're saying, you know, if I don't like this, then it's not a craft beer.
Yeah.
You can infer that from what I'm saying.
I think if you have a definition,
that's the issue I have with your stance.
I think if you're going to make a definition of craft, it has to be kind of universal rather than personal.
I just think
that's why I avoid the term. That's why I avoid the term.
That's different.
When I use it in like a general sense rather than.
Can you have a look at the date on that bottle?
Rather than personal.
Same one.
Hold on. So these guys usually put a bottling date, so there should be one on here. We just opened the Stone and Wood Pacific Ale. You guys want to talk about it while I look for the date?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, this smells very different.
Now this one's it's a pretty hard to get beer. You can't.
At the moment,
it's pretty rare.
It's hard to get a bottle of it.
It is hard. Yeah.
There's fucking kegs of it lying around the road.
It's because literally,
we went for a walk today, and there were kegs lying in the street of Stone and Wood, like outside pubs, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been rubbed off.
I don't know, like, we just poured a bottle of the Pacific Ale, and it just...
Where did you buy it?
Well, there's 3 bottles in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
2 of them are from Dan Murphy's, and one of them is from...
No, not Dan's.
Yeah, I bought... Oh, no. Two of them are from an independent bottle store in Surrey Hills.
Yeah.
And one of them is from an independent bottle store in Oxford Street.
There you go.
Yeah,
I don't really...
So we're not going to name names, but...
No.
This one's just not smelling super fresh to me.
Yeah, it must be out of code because I can't see the code. Which,
It's weird. This is the first time I've smelt this beer and picked up, like, toffee caramel. There's no fruit punch in that at all.
Yeah, I get it.
I get it on the like, drinking it on the palate, I get it.
On the nose, it's there.
On the nose, it smells a bit vanilla.
No, it's there. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
It's not as fresh as
it can be.
Hey, look, we've all had this beer a million times. We can talk about this beer.
But on topic, like, one of the good things about the really dedicated, aka craft, or craft brewers, one of the good things about them, like Stone and Wood and Feral, is that, you know, if the beer is tasting bad, you tell them. And they'll recall that stock from that particular bottle shop.
Have we touched on that yet about like integrity and?
I think we have briefly.
Yeah.
I think like it ties
that
into
that is another qualifying factor. I would say for a craft brewer is that people actually give a shit about the quality of their beer and how it's looked after it leaves the brewery. And I think which is a very West Coast themed idea about freshness and beer, but it definitely carries on. Australia, and like we've talked about, Brendan from Feral was one who's very particular about how his beer gets looked after, and the Stone and Wood guys as well.
Hendo's
very passionate about
it. I like Hendo's method about it, even though I still think he should have bottling dates, but apparently apparently he changes the label very slightly batch. So if you send him a photo and say it tastes crap and he sees that it's an old batch, then he'll say that's an old batch.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. He said he's working on getting batch dates.
I think everyone should have batch
dates. I think nowadays people are getting a bit more realistic, brewers are getting a bit more realistic in understanding the issues that, you know, pubs and bars and bottle shops can have with looking after other people's stock. And, you know, it's about finding the right people who actually give a shit about your beers as well.
Yeah, of course.
It was announced today, aka last week, when this episode comes out, that Greg Cook is coming over to Australia and doing, I think, Melbourne and Perth events.
Yeah.
And the Melbourne one's going to be at the local tap house. And they tried to get it up to Darlow, but to no avail, unfortunately.
Did they actually try?
Yeah.
That's what they said, yeah.
I'm sure they would have. Like, they own 2 venues. They want to get it for both.
Interesting that the WA event's at the Sail and Anchor, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Adelaide event was there.
How would Stone Ruination sit next to a commercially brewed Sail and Anchor? I'm sure Greg's gonna love that.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
But
I think it's cool that the Melbourne events are carrying over to the Ale House as well afterwards.
Is it?
Yes, they're doing So the tap house is going to have beers, and then halfway through the night, everyone's going to carry over to the
oh, so that,
ale house,
so it's
going to
be
different beers.
It's going to be like the Wellington thing where they have 20 beers at Malthouse and 20 beers at Hachigo, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's one way they've got around not being able to get all the beers onto one venue.
I think it's good that they're finally coming to Australia to see what it's all about, what the freshness is all about.
I think it's very easy to judge from the other side of the world about how we look after our beers here. Fucking come over and have a look, and then I'm pretty sure he might change his mind.
I think it's
once he gets an idea of where the scene.
Yeah, hopefully the support.
It's not the first time he's been to Australia, but
no, but hopefully the support on the events.
Will
open his eyes up a bit.
If someone wants to slap him around a couple of times, then
you know what I would have.
Can I raise my hand?
You know what I would have liked if he did an event with. Fresh bottles versus grey bottles or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to see what the difference is, because not a lot of people have tasted the difference.
Yeah.
And I have firsthand, and I can attest to the argument that fresh is best, or in those cases anyway.
And we've,
We have talked about this.
Yeah,
before.
We've had a whole episode about this topic.
So what do you think about Cernanwood?
Great beer.
Yeah, you mean... Every time I have it, it's delicious. It's not necessarily the beer I'm going to go and get on tap every time it's on tap, just because a lot of the places that have on tap also have, lots of other cool stuff on. But I know Stone and Wood is one I can reliably go back to.
Yeah.
Time and time again.
I went a couple of weeks ago to see Alice in Chains play in Newtown at Emmore, and afterwards I was particularly parched walking back home and... walked past the Bank Hotel, which had $5 schooners of Stone and Wood Pacific and $12 jugs. Fucking raped it. That was very tasty. And that was the most refreshing post-gig beer I've had for a long time. It was very good. Actually, no, second most. I had Electrolyte after a gig the other day, and that was...
Nice.
That was also very tasty.
Nice. There's not much we can say about Stone and Wood, whether it's craft or not. It is craft, right?
I think Stone and Wood's interesting because they brew very approachable beers. Yeah. They're not craft and it's in like, it's got, this IBU count that goes through the roof, or they dip a virgin monkey into every batch or whatever, but... write that one down. But,
great idea.
Yeah.
But they are... it's funny how unanimously people will say they're a craft beer because they have a lot of integrity about what they do.
Yeah.
Like we said, they're very concerned with freshness, and they brew interesting beers that are very approachable.
I think another thing that helps is that they are very kind of involved in the industry as well.
Yep.
Which, it shouldn't affect how the beer tastes or...
Well, they're passionate.
But yeah, they're passionate, and that shows. And so you always know when you go to a beer festival or a big beer event that, like, the Stone and Wood guys are going to be there.
Yeah.
And you can always have a chat to them, and they'll,
Can we give them some props for their tasting caravan?
How cool was that? Yeah.
Man, at Warner's, at the Warner's Beer Festival, Stone and Wood had their, they've converted a little caravan, like a 1950s caravan, into like a
bar.
Like a bar.
Yeah.
And they've basically got the beer plumbing out the side of the...
Was it like Breaking Bad?
No, it was like a
real surfy caravan. But then literally the kegs sit outside the caravan, and they got the beer plumbing to plug them into the side of the caravan and through to the taps.
Interesting.
Yeah. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's going to be down in Melbourne, I think.
That is when that I, caravan is craft. That's what I'm telling you.
When I'm a retiree, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. No, it's a really cool setup. It worked really well at the Warners at the Bay. Yeah, they're going to be bringing it down to Melbourne for Good Beer Week, I'm pretty sure.
Speaking of Good Beer Week, the program came out.
It did.
It's fucking hefty.
Yeah.
Mm. There's a lot of events.
I purposely not looked at it because I don't think I'll be going. But yeah, I would like to go.
Yeah.
There's been so much buzz about it.
I'll definitely be going, and I've already kind of put together a short list of events. Got a few things I need to buy tickets for, and Sourfest, definitely.
Can we make sure we buy tickets before we release this episode? I missed out on Sourfest last year because I think I was flying in that day or something, and didn't work out, but I'm going this
year. Yeah. Cool, so will I. It's definitely Sourfest. But that, like, that day that Sourfest is on, there's, like, every other event I want to go to is that day.
I heard, like, the big one that people are talking about is the, I think it's Vue du Monde. There's a lunch there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it with, like, Garrett Oliver or something?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't read the actual details, but...
He's doing a grape versus grain thing.
Okay.
Is that... I'm not sure if that's the one I've been on, but...
Everyone's going nuts about it, though. I don't know what the details are.
Was it Rogue and Moondog doing the collaboration?
They're doing the masterclass. Yeah.
Which looks pretty cool.
On the Wednesday, you've got the Abbey Collabby launch.
Yeah.
Mm. You've got a night with Garage Project where they launched the...
Redux
Step Above. Brewers and Chewers is that night, and you've got Sourfest. Yeah, so that's going to be a fun night.
That's the day I fly in. Starting off strong.
What else? Mega Dagger.
What's the Redux? What have they done to the...
Beefed it up, apparently.
Yeah.
Beefed it up, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird because Apocalypse Now Redux is an edited version. So,
is it now
less or more? Like,
they beefed it up, so it's now a Vietnamese beef inspired beer.
Faux based.
Oh, I'd love that.
So you actually,
we can cut that out of the episode if you want to like use that idea.
Yeah.
Oh, so what? Maybe for this has all the aromatics, and you actually have to dunk them in yourself. And
the base is beer.
Yeah. You can dunk in all your aromatics. Yeah. Nice.
Interesting.
Stealing that one.
Yeah. Do you want to just take a break and finish these off?
Yeah. I got another question for you.
Yeah, sure.
So every year when I go to Melbourne, well, every time I go to Melbourne, I always go first thing to Beer Deluxe.
Yep.
And have a beer.
Mm. You gonna do that this year?
Well, this is a question.
Are they a craft beer bar?
Well, this was what...
this is what we asked them.
We asked hell of a time this, so we should probably answer it ourselves. I don't think we can say where the Beer Deluxe is because we're not in Melbourne.
We haven't been there. Yeah.
Pardon?
We've only just seen some stuff they have on tap. I haven't been there post-changeover.
So I cannot, you know, answer that question. But
the funny thing is, like, this is... When I last went there, it was during one of the cricket matches... I think it was like the Adelaide test or something, and we wanted to watch the cricket, but Beer Deluxe weren't showing it, so we went somewhere else.
But it's not really a sports bar where you...
It's not a sports bar,
yeah.
But I think they were showing it a couple of years ago. But anyway, the other reason we kind of turned away was, as we were walking in, there was this distinct aroma of cleaned up spew.
Ugh.
At the entrance, and I was can't be bothered. So
yeah,
I don't know.
If it wasn't during Craft Beer Week and there was spew, then during Craft Beer Week it might be another story. But
I mean, maybe that's just the unfiltered.
I think that was on tap at the time, so maybe it was the unfiltered Carlton draft.
Maybe that's what it was smelling. Is that a craft beer, unfiltered Carlton draft?
Well, yeah. Well, this is the thing. So this was always my tradition is like go and have a beer for breakfast at Beer Deluxe, or like normally hang around the art gallery next door waiting for the bar to open.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the first place I want to go for beer this time.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll still end up at Beer Deluxe sometime.
My first stop,
but
I tried to make my first stop slow beer every time because they always have good stuff.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to go to slow beer last time.
No, neither
time,
did
so
I. So I think that's.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
I think my first stop next time is going to be Turo.
Well, it's the other thing, yeah.
Hopefully, should open in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's exciting news about Turo.
I think if you want to make a definition about craft beer bar, I think that would be one. But what is
it? Well, they haven't actually opened yet, so...
Well,
going
by what Slow Beer puts on, I mean, they're a bottle shop and they're already a craft beer bar.
Yeah.
So I think Tura is going to be the same, if not better.
Well, there's a new craft beer bar opening up in Sydney soon as well, isn't there?
Yeah, so this is why I'm kind of dodging what is a craft beer bar. I'm involved in the opening of a restaurant/bar. Hopefully, we'll be open by the time this episode comes out.
So we've always teased you for the fact that you're the only one on the other side of the industry fence, but now you're coming over to the dark side.
I'm joining the dark side.
So you're officially going to be an alcoholic pretty soon.
I did a barista course yesterday.
Nice. He's already alcoholic, but soon you're going to be a professional alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yep. I can write it off
now. Exactly. Join us.
So yeah, that's going to be really exciting. Yeah, it's going to be called Cameray Craft. Yeah,
I mean, it's Cameray, but yeah, is it really Craft Cameray?
That's going to be. I'm opening it with Willie, who was a guest on.
He was on the
The British special.
Yeah.
So
the English special.
Well, same thing. I think with Turo, I think with you guys, the intention's definitely there for.
Yeah.
For a craft or a good bar.
Yeah,
a good bar.
Yeah,
a good bar. Yeah. Should we just stop saying craft?
Ball.
Oh, that's another definition that I've heard. Yeah,
they do now. Yeah, since they've changed out of the grenade bottles. Yeah.
So that is a definition of craft beer that someone said to me. It was, if it's got a twist top, it's not craft beer.
That's stupid.
Which I think we can point to. We've got some Mountain Goat bottles sitting on.
They're not twisties.
No,
that's a twisty. Look at it. It's got a thread.
Is it?
Which that's a twisty.
Are they all twisty? No, that one's not.
Not all of them are.
Is that the cider or which
no, one? No, that's the IPA, isn't it? Yeah, that's the IPA. So Mountain Goat IPA is not a craft beer because it has a twist top.
Boom!
Sure.
And they brew it as sake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a twist top.
Dude, you can see the thread. Like, get some glasses.
Why?
I've
got my BrewDog one right here.
I think we have touched on this before. Like, why does the vessel matter?
Yeah,
like you can serve it in a can, you can serve it in a twist top,
a growler, a squealer, yeah, a goon bag.
I would like to see a craft beer goon bag. That'd be cool.
I've seen craft cider in a goon bag.
Nice,
the bag and box stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Quinty Drag. Came in like
giant
you could get in giant 10-liter goon bags basically, which you could hook up to a hand pump.
Did you see that sculpture by the sea at some other city? I can't remember where it was.
Really
and
cool.
One of the sculptures was a gigantic goon bag. It was amazing.
Huge, yeah.
Could you drink out of it?
I hope so.
Was it attached to a gigantic clothesline?
That would be amazing.
Because I mean that's what a key keg is essentially. It's a goon bag full of craft beer and a pressurized bubble.
It's a counter-pressured goon bag, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so next beer, should we go on? Or
suppose.
Our producer's in a hurry. We've got somewhere to be after this. There's half a keg of Aurora Borealis on at a pub down the road.
It's not going to run out.
If it runs out before he gets there, I ain't fucking going to hang around for that.
It's not going to run out.
It's going to get all stabby. Yeah, no unlimited amount of reals with cheese is going to abate that hunger.
When was the last time a beer ran out in 2 hours?
The Mornington Peninsula takeover.
Yeah, but that was by accident. That wasn't from people drinking it.
Can you imagine if they did that with the Aurora Borealis?
I would probably lick the floor.
Yeah, I reckon they'd let people down to the cellar to lick the floor. So this is the Sleeping Giant IPA from Gage Roads. So Gage Roads, they are an independent brewery, but they're 25% owned by Woolworths.
My question is, who released the packaged version of this first, Riverside or Gage Roads?
These guys were first.
But this beer?
With the elephant on it?
I'm
pretty sure this was before Riverside.
Yeah.
And you know me, I will defend Riverside. I'm literally wearing a Riverside shirt right now. It's
Doesn't somebody do an elephant's trunk? Is that Gage Road as well?
Don't know, man.
Yeah.
There's the Carlsberg elephant.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Which is the strong version of Carlsberg.
For some reason I was thinking like Seven Sheds or something.
I dunno.
So are you calling shenanigans here?
Well, I'm just saying it's a bit suspect. There's two Australian IPAs with an elephant on the
label.
I mean, but it's got the word India in the style, you know. It's the first
India.
Thing. I'm so gonna have Ganesh on.
Ooh, other. There's another topic.
Jokes.
What do you guys think about the word India being put on everything?
I mean, I understand what it symbolize, like, what it means. It's a symbol, essentially, that word, when it comes to beer styles. It means that it's got more alcohol and it's hoppy, right?
I mean, when was the last time the British troops in India had a red ale? Like,
or a, yeah, I mean, there's been some weird ones.
Why isn't it called a Cascadian ale?
That is something, yeah. Black IPA is a term, kind of, has always annoyed me.
There's a lot of brewers that get annoyed by the...
Black IPA.
By black IPA.
Because it's like, yeah, it's got the word pale in it, it's not... So, what do we think of this, guys? Of the sleeping giant?
I haven't even started drinking it.
There's not a lot of hop aroma in the nose.
Or on the palate.
I get that. Is it an old bottle? Because I get that kind of...
Yeah, it's got a bit of pepper.
I get that kind of dead hop slash malty...
Yeah, look, I bought this out of a Dan Murphy's today, so I'm not going to...
Character from it. It's something that I get from, like... a callback to something we talked about 30 minutes ago. Old IPAs, like grey imported American IPAs, and it has this kind of old hop slash pronounced malt character to it.
It's kind of like Hendo says, you know, like he was telling a story about how someone came up to him and was talking about the beers in his cellar, and he's like, "Yeah, I've got this IPA cellar," and Hendo's like, "Oh, is it right next to your milk cellar?" Because it's like, he reckons it's the same thing. If you're going to be cellaring IPAs, you might as well be cellaring milk.
Ooh, that taste is not good.
Yeah.
I'd like to have it fresh. Like
so, according to the label, it's giant flavour, dry hopped with an enticing aroma.
Yes, I love dry hopping with an enticing aroma.
Yeah, you just put that enticing aroma straight in there.
Yeah, like,
dry.
2 kilos of enticing aroma. Yeah. I hate marketing speak.
What is the... date say?
I can't see anything.
It says something, it ends with 12, so...
Something that ends with 12.
That's not necessarily the best.
No.
This is very lagerish to me.
Mm-hmm. I think this is less flavour than the Sam Adams we just had.
Yeah, I actually agree.
I'm getting like a metallic sting on the flavour.
It does have that very much, that metallic sting.
It's not on the, like, I usually get it on the nose, but this time it's... On the flavour, it's really
bad. There
is
a bit of pepper in there as well, which is about the closest thing the hops I can get in this beer.
So, yeah, so Woolworths owns 25%. And the other beers they do a German-style Kolsch, the Wahoo Ale. They do a premium lager. They do a 3.5% Pilsner. They do the Atomic Pale Ale. They do a cider. This Sleeping Giant IPA. And then they've got... On, according to Wikipedia, at least. The Abstinence Belgian Double Chocolate Ale.
I've seen that around.
I'd be interested to taste that. And a Pumpkin Ale. But their website...
The Pumpkin Ale, they did have it at the Damn Movies I went to as well.
They did?
Yeah.
And they did the Convict, which was an Australian Strong Ale.
Oh, so it is what I thought. It was Seven Shares that did the... elephant's trunk.
Oh, right.
Okay. I'm not sure if they have an elephant on the label, though.
So this beer's apparently got East Kent, Goldings,
yes, they do.
Cascade, Williamette, Centennial, and Chinook.
Yep.
I know where they went.
Yeah, so... so was it
Maybe
these...
they were stolen by the hop thief.
So was it these guys that did the elephant first, or was it Seven Sheds? Ooh.
I don't know.
Maybe we should do an entire elephant
there needs to be an elephant
beer label
episode.
Yeah, okay, that's it. That's our next episode, guys. Yeah.
I think we elephants need to sponsor like a Anchorman-style rumble-off between...
or the elephants.
Yeah.
You know who's going to win, though.
We know who you want to win, that's for sure.
But
I'll make sure they win.
But what are craft elephants?
there were a few beers we tried to get to drink today. Obviously, we talked about trying to get the Cricketer's Arms. Mm-hmm. The other ones we tried to get was the Mad Brewers release.
Have you guys had that?
I have. Yeah,
I have.
You've
not.
Had it. You?
I haven't.
I went to the launch of it at the Malt Shovel Brewery.
Luckily, because I worked just down the road from there, before they released it, they poured me out a jug out of the tanks to have. So
lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice of them, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
So it's called Garden de Paradisi. It's a wit beer with grains of paradise, which are kind of like a cross between cardamom and pepper. So it's got a really lemon pepper sort of flavour.
But grains of paradise is actually used in a lot of the wit beers as well.
Yeah, but they put an insane amount in this one. Like, if you were to buy the grains of paradise at the volumes that you can get in Australia by themselves, it would have cost them thousands of dollars to put the amount they did. They got it shipped in bulk. And what I was really impressed with...
Where did they get it from?
It's
from Paradise?
Yeah.
Came with two tickets as well.
I think it's it's like, is it a Caribbean thing, or is it like it's no
subcontinent?
Okay.
It's West Coast Africa.
Okay, West Coast Africa. Yeah. So they got it from the West Coast of Africa. and yeah, they got it shipped over in bulk, and they and I was really impressed when I went because the brewers, two of the brewers at Malt Shovel, were talking, and they were pretty new to Malt Shovel, and they were super into it. They were really passionate. I think it was one of the guys' names was Josh, and I forget the other guy's name. And they were really into it, really passionate. And a few weeks later, just a few weeks ago from us, I went to Warner's at the Bay Festival, and I was actually
really surprised with the beers they were pulling.
I thought they were one of the best stalls there. Yeah. Like, they had a bourbon barrel aged version of the James Squire Porter.
Mm.
And they had the
Garden
de Paradisi, and they had the latest Hop Thief, which was really good. It actually I think the Hop Thief must have been stealing all the hops from the past one. They put them all in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the second time I made that joke.
Stop making that joke.
It's such an easy joke to make.
Oh.
I'm not comedically talented, okay?
Clearly. Yeah, but I've got to say, I was actually really surprised with Squire Stand.
I thought it was
They had some
great.
Good shit, man. And they were the only ones that had, like, three different beers. You know, like... the guys my old time talked about it before, about the fact that, you know, you go to these beer festivals and it's like the same people just slinging the same stuff.
Yeah.
It was cool to see that, like, you know, one of the ones you go, oh, look, there's Squires, they're just going to have the Squire range. But they actually had the only three beers, so they had three or four beers on.
They had four. The other one was the the Constable Copper Ale.
Yeah. But they had three out of their four beers were pretty, you know, were limited release of stuff, and one of them was only available there.
Yeah,
like,
one keg only.
Yeah. I was really surprised. It was good. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'd say, you know, craft beer.
I think the brewery might have lost its way a little bit, but they're definitely making some inroads to winning back some respect. And
definitely.
And, yeah. I mean, because of I work just down the road, the guys come in quite a fair bit and buy a lot of beers off me, and they're passionate guys, man. They're really into what they do. And so,
And that's what it's all about. Huh?
Yeah. Stepping up the Mad Brewers again and getting some fun beers out there is definitely a good way to win back some respect, I think.
Yeah. Everyone's got some?
Like a hit of booziness.
There's still heaps left.
Oh. Whew.
No, I'm good.
I think we're going to do a lot of that tonight, like when we have the Aurora later on.
Oh. It's just like, it just smells of booze.
I think this is gonna be sweet. I don't think you're gonna like this.
It smells like a Belgian Dubbel.
Yeah, so we've just opened the Silent Anchor.
Changing Tides barley wine.
Mm.
When I become full fledged alcoholic and I'm instead of buying my 4 liters of Sunnyvale Fruity Lexia, much more economical to go to Dan Murphy's and buy the Changing Tides. Less than $6 for the bottle.
Oh.
11%.
Wow.
And it's a 750ml bottle. That's fucking bargain.
That's ridiculous, man. I don't personally think it's a great beer. But that's good. We're not condoning alcoholism, but...
Really?
Drink responsibly, okay?
Yeah, drink responsibly.
As we go and smash some Aurora Borealis on top.
But, like, for, you know, value for money, that's ridiculous.
Definitely, yeah. It's got the... got a lot of kick behind it.
Yeah, I think too much kick, to be honest.
It's like it's been fortified, like...
That said, usually barley wines I like to age a bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
probably quite young.
It gets better, so I have had...
I wouldn't say putting this down would...
I think it would. I think it would improve it.
Didn't the Ale of the Time guys... Weren't they talking about this beer?
I think they did, yeah.
I think they liked it. I'm not sure if it was fresh or not, but...
I mean, it's a barley wine. How fresh does it have to be?
I like it not fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
Well, I bought it from Dan Murphy's shelf, so how fresh can it be?
That's true.
At $5.90 a bottle.
Yeah.
Well, what else did you buy from Dan Murphy's shelf that we've had today? Like, the last one was not that fresh.
It's not bad.
No, it's nice. Like, it's a...
But it's not great. It's, like, very...
There's not enough malt in there.
Yeah, I think it needs more malt.
It's like they've brewed like a...
Yeah, I think it'd be better with age.
It's like they brewed a Belgian Duvel and just, like, topped it up with vodka.
Hey, there's an idea.
I've already done a tequila beer.
Now, we haven't thought about this, but we've got to ask the Ale of the Time guys a question. They obviously have to answer their own question they asked us.
Yeah, I think, like, it'd be good
have
to see...
Have we actually answered their question?
Well... We kind of have dodged it various times, and I'm not sure if we've answered the exact question. I'm going to use another cop-out answer and say I don't think I did say that Cricketer's Arms was not corrupt.
I did, and I kind of I take it back until I try it.
Look, based on the one Cricketer's Arms beer that I've had, I wouldn't call that a craft beer.
Mm. Yeah.
Whether they've released other beers which are craftier, I don't know. I haven't tried them. We couldn't get any.
I personally would call it a bad beer, and I personally would call Mountain Goat Summer Ale a good beer, and which is consistent with what I said earlier in this episode.
Yeah. I'd agree with you.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. So, do we have a question for them? We didn't actually think about this earlier.
Yeah.
So,
it'd be good to get their thoughts on their question, just briefly. It's very good.
Well, I mean, where can you go after asking what is craft beer? Maybe we can stop going on this like, oh, is this craft? And
yeah,
like,
let's take it a new direction.
Let's take a new direction. Maybe, I think the question we're going to ask is if you could choose any Australian brewery, and just give them money, lots of money, as much as they need, and plonk them in the US. Who would you do it to, and maybe where in the US would you put them?
Interesting.
To who do you think would be the best to do that? When we come around to us answering, I don't think my answer is going to surprise anybody.
Are we going to answer it now? We're going to wait till next episode.
I was going to say my answer's not going to surprise anybody.
Yeah,
Cricketer's Arms, right?
Yeah. And do we have any recommendations?
My recommendation is don't go to Dan Murphy's to buy your beers because they're shite.
Yeah, I realised that a while ago.
I felt so angry just walking in the doors. Like, the minute the doors popped open, I was like, fuck this place.
Well,
like,
so let's recommend go to your local bottle shop, your local independent bottle shop, and just have a look in, have a chat to the guys, see what they've got in. If they don't have much of a craft range, kind of recommend some stuff. Don't be a douche about it, but like.
Yeah. Look, Tom and I went to the Clock Bottle Shop, which is, you know, up the road in Surrey Hills, part of the Clock Hotel.
I like that one.
Yeah, and...
We had a great chat to the guy behind the
camera. Yeah,
Don't tell them everything, though.
Nah, I won't. I won't give away the... We'll talk about it later, guys. Yeah. But, he's got a small but cool range, and it changes. And he had a nice board at the front with his five top pick beers he has at the moment, when there was, like, a Bureau de Burger Hoppy Cat.
They keep on trucking in there.
Keep on trucking... Hey,
Antonia.
Yeah, so it had it's not a big bottle shop, but it has an interesting range. It changes a lot.
Yeah, before Liquor in Oxford and
Oxford
Oak Barrel
Sellers,
opened up, they used to be my go-to because I knew, you know, that they'd have something interesting on bottle. They never had any good taps on back then, but I think these days they have one tap on.
Yeah. On, they always have one tap. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, one interesting tap, anyway.
One craft tap. They have more than one tap, but they have... craft tap, sure. Okay, I don't have to get into this.
Two?
Sometimes have two.
Yeah, at least one.
And that's... So, I mean, I'd recommend the Clock. Actually, no, I wouldn't. Don't go to the clock.
Yeah, it's shit.
Go to the bottle shop. I'm just going to go to the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, don't go to the clock.
If you're going to go, wait a good 4 weeks before you go.
Oh, it won't take us 4 weeks.
I'm gonna say again. Check out Good Beer Week. Goodbeerweek.com, I think, or is it .com.au?
Just Google Good Beer
One
Week
of those.
Find it.
Good
yeah.
Beer Week.
Who uses URLs anymore?
Like, yeah, they're at Good Beer Week on Twitter. They just released their program. I haven't looked at all of it, but it's probably going to be amazing because it always
it's huge,
amazing.
Man.
It's,
it is
yeah,
huge.
Huge.
There is a lot.
There's
of
something
stuff
for everybody.
Yeah. Right. Special shout out to the boys at Ale of a Time who are hosting an event.
Which I'll be going to.
We're going to go down and say hi.
Cool. I think it's on the Tuesday. It's like a craft tea and beer or something, which is sounds really interesting.
But down in Melbourne, I'm going to throw down a challenge for the boys if they can. I'd love to have a day with them and get on the tinnies.
Yeah, maybe like a
tinnies, right?
Yeah.
Maybe like a crossover episode.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. But yeah, I hope the boys will be keen for a beer when we get down there because I'd like to hang out with them because I really had a chance to hang out with Luke when he was here last time. So.
And I don't think I think I've met Dave before, but never had a real like, you know, yeah,
pash. Wow.
Okay.
Shit's got real.
What are you talking about? I think we should probably wrap it up there.
Yeah.
So I think we can say we definitively answered the question.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And the reason this episode sucks is because of Ale of a Time, so thanks, guys.
Worst episode ever.
Yeah.